Okay, here we go. We are on 2 Corinthians. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 tonight. And I'm working on, probably do a sermon tomorrow afternoon, maybe tonight, I don't know. I hate to call them sermons, but some things that I've been coming across. So I got some other things I've been working on here. And I'm kind of trying to get off of this Sunday only, Wednesday only stuff. But tonight, this is actually, this is about money again. And I'm kind of surprised at it myself. 1 Corinthians 16 is a good chapter on money. I thought that was kind of going to take care of it. And chapter 9 is too of 2 Corinthians. But there's some interesting stuff in chapter 8 when it comes to giving. And this is bottom line. It's just about offerings and stuff. So let's look into this thing here tonight. It's a very interesting way to approach this money issue, which so many people are so afraid of and so hateful. And I don't even like to talk about it, but here we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Now we're going to find out, this is kind of the overall summary of this thing, we're going to find out that giving is actually an act of grace. That's the whole point about this thing, it's an act of grace. And you have to read this chapter 8 really quite slowly to try to see what it is he's talking about when he talks about the gift, and then he's talking about grace, but the whole thing has to do with giving. And I'm not going to just say money, you know, because we can give of our time, we can give food to people, we can, you know, stuff like that. But basically, he's pretty much talking about to help them, so it's going to have to be along the lines of money or something. So here we go. This is interesting for me. I hope I don't blow it by mumbling through it, or it's like Sam was warning about if I got a different language I'm using here. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit, and that is to say, you know, he says that to wit is, that to wit means to, that is to say, so he says, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. So now I see a little bit more reasoning behind the word bestowed, because something comes on to these people other than just good old-fashioned grace. There's something behind this. Because he has a semicolon there, grammar stuff there. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Now, you know, in 1 Corinthians 16, Paul tells everybody to give liberally as God has prospered them, that kind of a thing. So here he says these people have a great trial of affliction, and yet the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. They were still going to give. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. So these folks are willing to give more beyond. Now, I'm not going to make this thing sound like the old standard Baptist give more than you can give and all this kind of pressure stuff, but it's an interesting thing what Paul says here. So here he says, for to their power I bear record. So he knows what they can give. Yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. Praying us with much entreaty, which is urgency, this is an urgent thing, that we would receive the gift. Now, what is this gift? Is it the gift of grace? Yes, but there's more to this. He says, we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. So there's a fellowship in here of ministering to each other. And this they did. Not as we hoped, because remember he said he knows their power. He knew what they could give. But it says here, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. So these folks not only just did their routine giving and helped the saints as such, they gave beyond what they had the power to give, and they gave themselves. They were willing to give themselves to the Lord and then to Paul and these guys. See, isn't this like a Baptist thing? I mean, give beyond, give more than you have in your pocketbook. No, just hang on. There's a place he warns about that too. So don't think I'm going down this road. Insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Now, what is this grace he's talking about here? Just keep going here. Titus is involved here quite a bit. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, and utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. What is this grace? Well, reading through 8 and 9 a couple thousand times today, it's an act of grace. It's to go beyond what you can, and it's to give and then participate in as it says, where is it at? The ministering of this to the saints. Now, you'll see more as we go here. So I suppose you're already bummed, because here he is talking about money. Give more than you have. You know, and I don't want to do that. I'm not saying that. But, you know, Paul says these guys gave beyond their power. And now let's keep this in mind as I'm trying to cover this thing. Remember, this is the days also when Paul and God worked to these people in part and all that kind of stuff too. These miraculously kind of workings of God. Can God do that today through us? I think he can through our Bible reading, Bible study, and our give ourselves to him. And that means we're going to quit spending on other stuff. Yeah, I mean, you go where you want with this thing, but you'll see as we get into this thing, it's a very balanced sermon on giving. Here we go. So he wants us to abound in this grace also. Now this is a very interesting verse. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. There it is. If you have true godly love, you'll give. There's the guilt shot right there. Now look at verse 10. He says, and herein I give my advice. So we see in verse 8 and verse 10, this is not a commandment from the risen Lord as such. It says, by the occasion of the forwardness of others. What is forward? And you got to be careful not to get forward mixed up with froward. Forward is cheerful readiness. It expresses more than willingness. It's eager. It's bold. It's confident. It has assurance. See, froward, F-R-O-W, is a perverse turning away, ungovernable, unyielding, a real, real rebellious spirit. But forwardness, he says here, I speak not by commandment, but by the occasion of the forwardness of others. These people are eager. They're wanting to give to help whatever they're going to help. They're anxious to write out their little tablets and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye, through his poverty, might be rich. So, going back to, again, 1 Corinthians 16, where he's talking about give liberally as God has prospered you, and here he's talking about such a desire. I mean, these people are just like wanting to give. They have a desire. They've given themselves to the Lord to do this. So this is actually an act of grace to give like these folks are giving. If you go over to chapter 9, which we will do later, but let's look really quickly. He does say in verse 7, God loveth a cheerful giver. There's that froward person. I mean, who can I help with some money this week kind of a deal, or whatever they're going to give here. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And he says in 10, and herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, which is the right thing to do. Expedient is the right thing to do, who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. In other words, you're doing more this year than you were doing last year. And I'll tell you, not even just in the money department, but I can go back and I can think of some people that are further backwards now than they were a year ago. We're supposed to be going forward, and we're going backwards. And he says right here, who have begun before, you know, doing the right thing with this act of grace of giving here and ministering to the saints here, it says to be forward a year ago, more than you were last year. Then he says in 11, now therefore perform the doing of it. You know, give. Do your performance of it. That as there was a readiness to will, so you want to do it, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. So what you have, you give. Now, just watch through here now. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. So see, you can't give more than you got. And that's the pressure we get from the preacher guys. You know, I was a year behind in my finances in Las Vegas because a missionary came along and convinced me to give a paycheck 1 month. So I gave a paycheck for that month, didn't tell anybody, and I was financially a disaster for the rest of the year until we moved and sold our house. So you give, it says here, if there first be a willing mind, you got to have a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Boy, if the preachers could get that verse. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened. I was burdened for a year because I made it easier for this guy when I gave him an $800 check. And I was miserable the rest of that year. Is this all making sense on a money basis? The guys, these Baptist guys, the preacher guys, got the right idea, but they sure do twist it around, don't they? And I like these verses. I'm having fun with this Corinthian stuff. Some of these things are just, it's about time we got this stuff nailed down. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened. That is so good, right? Just shoots them right down the tube about that guilt stuff. But by an equality, that now at this time your abundance, if you have an abundance, obviously, your abundance may be a supply for their want. That their abundance also may be a supply for your want. That there may be equality. As it is written, he that hath gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. So it all balances out. But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. Now, what has Titus got to do with this? Remember the stuff that Titus preaches that's in the book of Titus? There's grace there for that stuff to kick into our lives. As it is written, where are we at here? For indeed, here's explanation of verse 16, for indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward, of his own accord he went unto you. So here's this stuff we're getting from Titus, and it was Titus was willing to go to people and teach them this stuff. And we have sent with him the brother, whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. And not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us, with this grace. What do you mean, with this grace? With this grace is this whole grace of giving. He's not just talking about grace for salvation. This is a chapter, these are two chapters that talk about money. I mean, that's just, there's no doubt about it. And giving other things as well. But basically, we're looking at, you know, what you have, he give out. So they're traveling with this grace, this act of grace about, they've got this money to help, to minister to the saints, all given to them by grace. God help them prosper, and you give it out to somebody else and to help whatever you're going to help here. Which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord and declaration of your ready mind. Knowing that these people were willing, they were cheerful, they were excited, they were giving beyond their power, yet not beyond what they had. That's what Paul's talking in verse 12. 20, avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance which is administered by us. Near as I could tell, that thing is to blame us in this abundance. These guys didn't put any guilt trip. We're so good at that, aren't we? Providing for honest things. Not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. So our testimony as Christians, Paul-following Christians, has a lot to do with our act of grace, which is giving and ministering to the saints. The fellowship of the ministering of saints, to the saints. And we have sent with them our brother, whom we oftentimes proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent upon the great confidence which I have in you. So here we go, Paul is again. I don't believe Paul is flattering. He's just telling his people that you guys do a good job. And I've got that confidence knowing. And I knew that back when I was pastoring that the church people were going to give for the missionaries that came through back in those Baptistic missionary days. But the folks never let anybody go away ripped off, near as I could remember. Even though we were hurting sometimes, they always still come up with something to help somebody. So there's confidence from a pastoral standpoint. Okay, anyway. Whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you, or our brethren be inquired of, they are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. How? By their giving. Wherefore show ye to them and before the churches the proof of your love. There you go. And of our boasting on your behalf. Now, here we go. I guess I got to put these words together and say this, but if somebody loves what they're being taught, loves what God has done for them, you might say how you have prospered, and you give liberally, that shows your love to be doing this grace thing about giving the best you can and willing to give and cheerful to give, but not giving what you don't have. There's where the guilt stops, right there. But if you've got it, you give it. Why? Again, back in verse 8, this sounds so baptistic here. Prove the sincerity of your love towards the ministry. Or whatever it is that, I don't like talking about money. I've never liked talking about money. And it's not even a Paul commandment. It's because you are willing to give. You are willing to thank the Lord. You are willing to give liberally as God has prospered you. And it is. It shows your love. And he says it again in verse 24, the proof of your love. So a Baptist pastor can get up there and he can say what they want to say about you love God, all this kind of stuff. But we see what Paul really means here. It's not because the guy's putting the screws down on. It's because you truly love God, because what he's done for you. And you take this modern Great Commission, what has God done for them? Well, he saved them. Well, what else? Well, they don't know. They have no idea what God did for them, because they know nothing about the risen Savior's teachings. They know nothing about the doctrine of imputation, etc., etc. So, yeah, they've got to have the pressure put on them to give because they love God, because they saved his soul. No, we realize here that if we love, it says our proof of our love and our cheerfulness is because what God has given us and shown us. One of the sermons I'm working on right now, because somebody, I guess it fits in to mention it here, is might even have to be a series, because so many people that are quitting their Bible, quitting church, quitting Paul, whatever they're quitting, they're saying to me, where's God been? I pray and I pray and I pray and God's not there. And I get tired of that. You've heard me say, well, what do you expect God to do? They're looking for these physical blessings. So I'm working on a sermon thing, kind of a series, I suppose. What has God done for me in the past? What is he doing for me now? And what is he going to do for me in the future? Just those kind of things. And when I know that when I get this thing, I've been reading some stuff already, and yeah, you just want to give. You want to help somebody in a way that they learn this stuff, and it just turns into a fellowship of ministering to each other, to the saints, not just to the world, not to lost people, but to the saints, to the Christians, to the brethren. In fact, I was going to look up this verse that's in there somewhere. We're supposed to give, to men, all men, but we're supposed to especially, basically, to the Christians as such. So, whatever. Forgot to look that one up. So, this is chapter 8. It's a marvelous chapter, but it's a chapter that is really hard to teach because it makes it look like I'm shooting for the money thing. I've always felt that hatred to talk about that. But I was kind of taken aback by Paul really puts it on them to give because they love God, to give because what God's done for them. And it's an act of grace, because you're given beyond your power, but just not beyond what you have. And read through that thing on your own part. Just go to chapter 9. Again, the same subject. Money. For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous, meaning it really isn't even necessary for him to do this, but he's going to anyway. For as touching the ministering to the saints, that's helping each other, it is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know the forwardness, there it is again, you're cheerful, you're willing, you're bold, you're assured, you're confident, you're more than willing. I want to get into this thing. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. So here we are. I'm telling you, this is about giving, and now the forwardness of our mind, that here's somebody that was ready a year ago, and our zeal to give, and our zeal to help somebody, shows them what Christianity is about. You know, I was thinking, I guess I probably won't do a sermon about it now, but I was thinking today, you know, one of the things that I think has hurt our testimony to other people more than anything in some respects are tracts, T-R-A-C-T-S. Everybody can get a tract, and you can hand somebody a tract. Here, read this. And now we know that the chick tracts are watery, syrupy, false gospel in some cases. It's charismatic-y type stuff. These other tracts from the Foundation League and all this kind of stuff, they're just wishy-washy little things. So what do? They give them the tract instead of be the Christian they're supposed to be. They're supposed to see that you're different than them, and you've got this grace, and you're willing to give, and you've got this forwardness. You want to, and he says here that this is our testimony. So what do? Hand somebody a tract and go on. They don't see anything different about you until you hand them a tract. So tracts have been very detrimental to us in lots of ways. Anyway, whatever. We're looking at verse 3. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain, oh, here we go, lest our boasting should be in vain in this behalf, that, as I said, ye may be ready. In other words, you better be ready. Remember, Paul even said he didn't want to have any gatherings, meaning they're not going to get this all gathered when he's there. He wanted it done before he got there, 1 Corinthians 16. He says, lest happily, it's happily, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we should be ashamed. So Paul doesn't want to be ashamed, but you folks, if you're not ready to help somebody out, you should be ashamed. Should be ashamed in the same confident boasting. So here Paul is telling everybody about these guys are good givers and they're good helpers and they give themselves their willingness to God and they've da-da-da-da. And yet he says here, but if you're not prepared when we get there, then you'd be ashamed. Because I've been boasting about you. You know, it's one thing. This is even one of my things that's hard from a pastoral standpoint, is you want to tell people about somebody who's growing in the Lord. They've made those changes according to Paul. And yet when they trip up and go backwards, blah, blah, however you want to put that thing, you know, it gets harder and harder. It's a tough deal. Confident boasting, and they make you look stupid. You know, we preached for years about Paul and the risen Savior and a King James Bible, and that the townspeople will see people going backwards. They'll see the place going to pot. They'll see things happening. And so much for the confident boasting about the people. And Paul boasts about his people. So, and I love telling people about the few people I know I have left out there, my personal ministry, that are trying and are struggling. Some of those folks that I tried to help back years ago ended up back in their little snares and their perverted little houses and stuff. And I boasted that they were getting out. Oh, they're standing strong, they're getting out. And they went back to their trailer. They went back to the so much of that confident boasting, so much of that testimony. Yeah, that's hard. That's a hard thing to deal with. And I bet you've done it too. Haven't you ever boasted about your kids? Your perfect little angels, your little gods and goddesses, and then you get a phone call and he's in jail for drinking. See? And you boasted, you know what I did? I boasted about my kids so much for so many years that when my kids finally flew the coop, people are thrilled. They're actually thrilled. I knew that what he was saying wasn't true. See what that does? That confident boasting, I was more than confident boasting, that was pride. So Paul's talking about here that he's talking about these people that they're good givers and they're da da da, and he says if you're not prepared, then you'll be ashamed of what I've been saying about you. Anyway, rambling. Verse 5. Therefore, these little words are so good. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty. Your bounty. You got bounty. If we got a bounty, do you have a bounty in the bank? If you got a bounty in the bank based on Paul here, see where a pastor could take this thing? But yet, look what he says. It's a sincere thing. It's a proof of your da-da-da-da. It's really weird. I haven't said that da-da-da-da for a long time, have I? I think that's coming back tonight. That you might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. Yeah, I'm going to give, but I'm sure, you know, grumpy, or they want you to come and give because you want as much as they have, that covetous stuff. No, you've got a bounty. You've got savings. You've got things. You've got whatever. That's what he's saying here. But this I say, and you've heard people say this, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Well, don't forget, he says, don't give more than you have. You can give beyond your power, but don't give more than you have. So if somebody puts this on you, he would sow sparingly, well, maybe this is why you're not reaping very much. And it doesn't have to just be money. He would sow bountifully. Haven't you sowed bountifully? I gave the guy $800 that one month. That was bountiful giving. Well, how come God didn't reap bountifully? How come I struggled for the whole year? So what happened here? You got to put all this in one plate and read it and see how it works on your life. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. purpose in your heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. Remember Romans chapter 12, verse 8? One of the gifts that people have, there are some people that are good givers. They write the check, send the cash, and they don't care what you do with it. They just figure they did their part to help. Or you got these people that, well, okay, I'll write my tithe, $349.16, not a penny more, that kind of a thing, and we have to do it, or the God will get us, or the pastor will hate us, or the treasurer will know, you know, all that kind of junk. But a man purposed in his heart, so let him give. You know, there's a lot of times that I didn't give, believe it or not. I had a crabby heart. I was in a church that was worthless, and you know what? I didn't give. I quit giving. I got a little nervous for a while. I thought God was going to get me for it. But he didn't. Matter of fact, I was fired, and we got to move to a different life. Was that an act of God punishing me for not giving? Not at all, because we got into a better situation. Right now, the church is all liberal music and blah, 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 blah. So I couldn't give liberally. I couldn't give cheerfully, so I didn't. And they were preaching tithing. I said, I don't have to tithe. Didn't even know the Paul thing, but that's Old Testament stuff. So I'm going to give. Don't bug me to give. Didn't know I was even doing Paul back in those days. For God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Oh, yeah, there you go. So give more than you have, right? And God will give the grace to you. And your car dies, you haven't got enough money to fix it. Why not? I gave all the money to the church. Well, you know what's going to happen? Your car's not going to get fixed. Because he still says, God is able to make all grace abound toward you. But he also still says up in verse 12 and 13, don't give more than you got. Don't forget that one. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Now, it could very well be that we give, and we have to sacrifice some giving, so we don't think that we're having sufficiency in all things. Well, we might not be having sufficiency in all that we want, but we're having sufficient. We have what we need. How much? What do we have that we don't need that we have? That could have been money for the church, money for the Bibles, money for the preacher, money for some people who are having a hard time. Back when I was back at Tushy, we'd send out money to some of the website folks out there. They needed the money. Found out later, I guess that's laundering. I guess you can't do that or some deal like that. I don't know. But who cares anymore? And how many people budget their giving? You know, that's not giving cheerfully. That's not giving according to the purpose of your heart. That's not giving according to the love, all that kind of stuff. Is you fitting into your budget? And you get all this other stuff you still need, and then you say things like, "Well, you know, God bless me, yeah, because I give so regularly." You ever try giving beyond what your budget allows? You still got it in there. You just got to transfer different funds, that kind of stuff. I'll probably want to hear from you guys again because this is actually a money sermon, isn't it? Oh well. Oh hey, the website comes due sometime. $300 for that. New computers someday. Da da da. See? Anyway, as it is written, he hath dispersed abroad. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. So here we compare this to farming. You get out there and you sow that seed, and what comes out of that thing? It comes out of their food for you, comes out of their food for somebody else, and then the fruits of all that righteousness, the fruits of all that farming expands to you and everybody else. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. Same thing with us. We plant that seed, we grow, we minister the seed to people, and it's going to grow and it's going to get fruits of our righteousness. Here's where people are complaining. We're not seeing those fruits of righteousness in physical, materialistic blessings. I think that's what's really stirring people up. Again, why are they quitting church? Because God was never in my life. He was never in your life? What do you expect out of him? So when you prayed, went to church two times in a row, oh great Christian that you were, God was going to help you sell your house? Or God was going to bless you with a new car or whatever? Are we making deals? There's that story in Acts, I think it's Ananias that tried to buy the Holy Spirit. We can't buy God because we're doing right. So there are still fruits of this giving. We just don't see it physically. And that's a whole other thing. You know that. Here we go. Almost down here. Verse 11 here. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God, to other people as well. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. So not only does it provide what people need, or the church needed, or the pastor needed, or the people down the street needed, or whatever, the Christians, but it's abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. These people have to be thankful to God. Don't have to be, I mean, they just will be. I mean, this is just what comes out of all this. God gets his glory. If you're a cheerful giver, if you haven't given more than you've got, so you're not miserable while they're being happy, unless you're miserable because you gave somebody some money or something, but I mean, if you ran out, and it's giving beyond your power. So God gets the glory, many thanksgivings unto God. Whiles by the experiment of this ministration, what does that mean? I'll show you. They glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, for your liberal distribution unto them. So read that carefully. The experiment of this ministration, that's administering something, having something take place, they glorify God. Why? Because of your subjection. You profess subjection unto the gospel of Christ. And what is that? To give. To give cheerfully, to give liberally, to give as God has a purpose, as you purpose according to your heart, and as God has prospered you. And these people see that in their lives. There's that hard word. Professed subjection. You subjected yourself unto the gospel of Christ. Well, where's the gospel of Christ? King James Bible. This Bible tells us that we ought to be giving in the manner that Paul said here. And are we going to see physical blessings today? I don't believe so. He promises us spiritual blessings. I'm curious how that sermon series is going to go. What has God done for us in the past? What is he doing for us right now? And what is he going to do for us tomorrow? Because that's where our fruits are going to be. But then you get these Baptist guys, they say, see, I led somebody to the Lord the other day, and then next week I got 10, and the next week I got 20, and it's just, I'm such a great Christian. That is not what he's talking about here. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed it by giving, the act of grace of giving, professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them, and unto all men. They see this stuff. And you're good to people. Now, I for what it's worth, I guess, I got a guy next door. He's a neighbor guy. He's a rather large guy. He's kind of an old guy, around 60. And very unhealthy. And his lawn is a disaster. So I went over that I mowed it yesterday. Is that a big deal? Well, when you consider the guy had 50,000 grasshoppers and they're coming over into our yard, that's not why I did that. And it's not a horn-tooting thing, it's just, that's what we're supposed to do. So we give our time, we give our money, we give these things. It's an act of grace to this guy. This guy's lost, I know he is. And that's what God has us do to people. Now, we've been burnt many times, you've been burnt many times, and you've got to be careful who you give, we know that. We know we have to do it for the right heart, for the right reason. Are we doing it because we're forced to? Are we doing it because everybody else is giving? I mean, there's all sorts of reasons to give that are wrong. And it could very well be that some of the reasons we're having as far as God not being there as such is because maybe we do have a bad attitude. Maybe our heart is not proper. Maybe things are a little messed up and we're giving out of bitterness. And maybe that's why there's no fruits of righteousness there. It's very possible. But again, our fruits of righteousness, physical blessings. Paul teaches spiritual blessings. Haven't you give something to somebody, give them some money, and then like 10 minutes later you needed that money or that thing or whatever? Did you survive? Yeah, you survived. Did it help them? Yeah, it helped them. Wouldn't it have been nice if you had a cheerful heart about it? You ever given with a bitter heart? Well, I'll give, but phew, hope it burns or whatever, you know. Here goes the plate. That's why back at Tushy, Grandma, that's why I put that box back. I feel guilty for passing the plate around when some people give once a month. So the plate goes by somebody, and I know how church people are. The plate once a month, you give once a month, and the plate goes by, you don't put anything in there. You know for a fact, somebody in that church is watching you, say, oh, look at that, he didn't give, so if he doesn't give, I don't have to. It's such a stupid game. I remember when I was a kid, one time Dad put a dollar in the plate. And back in those days, a dollar was a dollar, but still in a whole lot. You know? So, it's just funny stuff. Frustrating, but here we're seeing the scriptural aspect of giving. And then he says here, the last couple of verses, and by their prayer for you, which long after you, and for the exceeding grace of God in you. Well, we have the grace of God in us, but, you know, if people don't see it, they're not going to know we have it. One of the ways that these two chapters told us, an act of grace, this gift, which is a money gift or a missionary type of a gift, it's about grace. So he ties giving in with grace. We have grace because we give to people. We help out in ministry or whatever. Then again, he says it again, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Is he talking about salvation gift? Well, if the whole last two chapters have been talking about the gift of giving, then he's talking about this unspeakable gift that you're willing to give to people, or give to the saints, give to the ministry, who then takes it out to the saints. Take your pick. So, I don't know. You read through chapter 8 and chapter 9 yourself, and go back and read 1 Corinthians 16, And we learn what it is that Paul teaches us how to give, and how not to be stupid about it, and how not to be cheap about it, how not to be bitter about it. And if you don't have it, you can't do it. But if you have it, you can do it. And you should do it. You should be getting up in the morning going, now I wonder what I could send out to somebody today, or something like that, because we are so independently sainted, as our church is such a worldwide type thing. What can you do? So, hope there's no guilt put on you over this thing. I hope we just realize that Paul does talk about money. He does talk about giving. And it is an act of grace. And God does reward it, but we know that he rewards it spiritually. Spiritual blessings, Ephesians. And read it again. You know, if you don't have a job, you can't give $50, $100. I'll still never... Mark, is Brian, yeah, Brady, Brian, Adriana, I remember when you sent us some babysitting money when we were moving. And that was marvelous. Your babysitting money that you earned was probably more than somebody who gave $1,000, because they probably had $6,000 they could have given, or whatever. So I'll never forget that babysitting money that you sent. That was, and then somebody else did something too. Some other little kids, in Tri-Cities, some of the little kids had a sale or a clothing sale, a garage sale, and sent like $100. And to them, that was it. That was a lot of money to those guys. Again, somebody could have given $10,000. Probably gave $50. I don't know. It's just, you see this giving thing, and I've been involved with it for years and didn't do it, and bitter, and giving, and good giving, and gave a lot for the wrong reason, and suffered for a year for it. So we get pretty bitter about this giving thing. Well, here it is. 1 Corinthians 16, 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. And read it out. And see what God would have you do. But don't be stupid. And then don't be cheap. Remember what God's done for you. There you go. I hope that's my last sermon on money. Boy, I'm really uncomfortable giving...